Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday here on Big Blue View Radio. Please remember, if you're watching on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, comment to support the channel. And if you're listening on Big Blue View Radio, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you can, drop a comment, rating, and let us know how you think we're doing. Today, we're going to preview the Giants' upcoming game on Sunday against the Washington Commanders. And here to help me do that today is longtime friend, longtime DC columnist, and current host of the Rick Snyder's Washington show on YouTube. Rick, how you doing? How you been? How's everybody?
Oh, good. Rick Snyder's Washington just surpassed 10 million views. So, I mean, it's amazing how many people watch us now. People come up to me in the street, you know, and get stadiums. And I'm like, I've done this 44 years. And now people know what I look like.
Bragger. You know, did you ever think, you know, Rick and I have known each other since our days in college at the University of Maryland, which, God forbid, Rick, that was, you know, 40 some odd years ago. And did you ever think we'd be a couple of old bald guys, you know, doing YouTube videos?
No, I was hoping not to lose my hair, but, you know, now I have this piece, but
that's why I just buzz mine down so that nothing sticks up.
Yeah,
I don't worry about it.
I wanted to be a sports writer, and I've been very lucky to stay one my entire life.
Yeah, as you know, I feel very, very fortunate the way the newspaper industry's gone to have the Big Blue View format to continue doing what I do. So let's talk Giants and Commanders. And Rick, the most amazing thing is, I think you and I have done these annually for a few years in December now, and this may be the first time I can remember doing one of these when both of these teams are actually good. I'm not sure how to handle that.
Yeah, it's been the 90s, I guess, last time they were both like this.
Mm-hmm.
Washington had a 20-0 lead recently, and I was like, I have nothing to tweet. I've never been here before. And for Washington, they're playing the Giants two in a row. They have a bye in between, and I've never seen that. You know, the team down here has talked about, wow, it's like playing a doubleheader against, you know, the same team in football. It's so weird. So, you know, that's a big 2 weeks for Washington. I know you have a game in between. You know, if one of these two teams sweeps the other, they pretty much knock the other out of the playoff chase. So Washington's kind of excited. They're on a roll. They're playing their best ball. And, you know, if you're hoping for a wild card, you got to win one of these two games.
Absolutely. I think that's the way I see it as well. I think if you look at the way it's shaking out, 9 wins might get you there. I think 10 wins definitely gets you there. And I think that neither of these teams can afford to lose both of these games. But I did want to ask you, you said you had never seen this kind of schedule before. We go Giants Commanders this week. Commanders have a bye. Then the Giants play in Landover in 2 weeks. The Giants have the Eagles in between. I see this as a huge, huge advantage for Washington, and I see it as just ratcheting up the importance of this week even more for the Giants. You see it the same way?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the Giants played on Thanksgiving, so they've had a few extra days off on that end, you know. So
right.
A semi-bye, but you got to play the Eagles in between. That's
right.
Tough. You know, they could knock you out, and then you're suddenly reeling coming back to Washington again. So,
mm-hmm.
Harder task for the Giants, but Washington beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football and pretty much announced they're in the chase. The Eagles are a good team, but as Washington showed, they're not unbeaten anymore.
Right. I don't know that the Eagles are a great team. I think that's yet to be proven. What I need to ask you, when you look at this Washington team, they started 1-4 4 or 1-5, and then they've gone 6-1 over their last 7 games. Which one is the real Commanders team, or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think you're seeing the real Commanders team. And here's what happened. Two things happened. On offense, Carson Wentz gets hurt after 6 games. And this team had to decide, you know, Taylor Heineke's a great story. He's a great guy, but he's limited. And he's what I would call regular season offense versus postseason offense. He can get them to the playoffs. He can't win playoff games, though. And that's something Wentz is looming back on because Wentz is now healthy. But what they did is they said, we're going to a running game because Taylor can't throw the ball like Carson can. He makes plays. He's a decent player, but he's not that. So by going to a running game, and Brian Robinson came back, the rookie from Alabama, looked great in the preseason. And then on the eve of the season, he gets shot in a carjacking. He's shot twice in the street over by Ben's Joey Dog's place, you know. And it's, you know, it took him a while. He had to sit out a few weeks, and then he had to get his legs back, as you would say. He's now in the form I saw before, and that gives the running game so much help on this. And by switching the offense, it worked. And defensively, they made a series of moves that have paid off big. They fired their defensive line coach in August, which I've never seen. But it turned out that was a real tempest in the teapot over there. And by changing that, it really helped a lot getting that line together. Then they went to their first-round pick from last year, Jamin Davis, a linebacker, and said, listen, you stink. You got it. And they went to the media and called him out, both the coordinator and the coach. And they said, you know, we figured out he's a son of 2 military officers. We knew he could handle the tough love. And they pushed the button, and it's worked. Jamin Davis isn't playing Pro Bowl, but he's playing a whole lot better. And the third thing they did was they cut loose William Jackson, who was the big free agent signing from last year. Not a fit in this system at all. Huge liability. And they had to be willing to say, we blew it and ate the money. And they've got a young player coming in to do well. So all these buttons have been pushed. And this coaching staff has done a really good job getting this team now to where it could be a contender.
I wanted to ask you about Heineke. Obviously, as you said, he's a limited quarterback. And I watched the game the other day, and he threw a bad interception, and he threw a couple of other balls that just were really like, you know, what are you doing? And but the thing of it is, this team responds to him, or it seems to anyway. It has in the past, and it seems to be doing it again. What is it about this guy?
He's probably the most popular player on the team and the crowd in here since RG3 came. Now it's just off the charts crazy. But the fans love him because he's Rudy. And he's a good kid. You know, really is. And his limited time here, he's had success. The team loves him because he's an average guy who's like buying shoes every week for a different unit. You buy Jordans that are, you know, I don't know. You buy Jordans, but I don't. I know they're a lot. You know, he's buying a pair of Jordans for a few players and saying, oh, I can't afford to do this all the time. The dude gets $125,000 bonus for each win. So he's been doing fine. Just love the story because they know he's a fourth quarter quarterback. No challenge is too big for him. He's not afraid. Yeah, he's limited and they know that, but they love that he plays 100, that literal 110%. He's made some real improvements this year. He's throwing the ball away under pressure, and that's helped a lot. You know, so he's cut down on the mistakes. They tried to make him more of a statue, and they finally said, no, you got to let Taylor be what he is, which is a mobile guy to make some moves. Yeah, he does some dumb things sometimes, and what quarterback really doesn't? But they just all rally. I would say he's the most popular player in 10 years.
Interesting. I had a thought about Carson Wentz, and I just want to get your take. Look at Carson Wentz's career the last couple of years. Every team he leaves or every team he's on plays for and gets hurt seems to get better once he's either gone or sidelined. I mean, what is that? I mean, that happened in Philly. That happened in Indianapolis. You know, Indianapolis couldn't wait to get rid of him. And again here, you know, this year, it's happening in Washington. I mean, you know, what do you think about Carson Wentz?
Well, a couple of things. One, it's not a chemistry problem. people like Carson too. I mean, he had a bunch of the team over at his house for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, they like Carson fine. They just love Taylor, but they like Carson fine. And I think Carson needs a break-in period of time, and he hasn't been able to get it. When you go to a new team, it takes a while. And Washington has some pretty decent receivers, but their offensive line was terrible earlier this year. And he had 9 sacks against Philly. Part of it is his own. He's not real mobile. But the offensive line has gotten much better. I think if Carson comes back, he'll be better than he was early. But, you know, his first two games, he threw for 300 yards each and 7 touchdowns combined. I mean, it wasn't a horrible start. So there's going to be a lot of yelling because fans just love Taylor. But in the end of the day, I don't know that either quarterback will be here next year.
You think the Commanders go back in the draft and look for a long-term answer?
Well, they do have a fifth rounder. They took Sam Howe out of North Carolina this year, and they really like him. They just feel he's a couple years away. But I've watched him in the off-season camps, and he's got a lot of talent. He's got a big arm. So maybe he gets a shot. But the other thing is, Wentz is going to cost him $26 million next year if they keep him, zero if they cut him, the way it goes. So I think they're going to take that money, and it's one way you re-sign Daron Payne on the defensive line, because he's going to be a free agent, and he could probably cost 20. You do that, Taylor probably gets a decent backup quarterback of around $10 million a year. So I think they could keep Taylor, but still want him to be the backup. But to who? I don't know. Then it's, once again, are you quarterback shopping on the free agency market again? I don't think they'll spend a penny on it. And that's weird. Is it Jimmy Garoppolo, which everything's going on? I mean, it's kind of a – and the question then is, the team is, for sale. What's the new owner if they come in the offseason? What do they want to do? Do they want to keep the coaches? That kind of stuff. So there's so much. It's sort of like enjoy the moment.
There you go. That's kind of where the Giants are. It's been an unexpected 7-4 start. It was a 6-1 start. They've lost 3 out of the last 4. But I don't think anybody expected them to be in the middle of a playoff run at this point. Hey, let me throw this at you. Look at the NFC playoff picture. All 4 NFC East teams are playoff teams as of today. It's been a minute or two since the NFC East was on top of the landscape. But kind of remind you of days gone by a little bit?
Yeah, 2 years ago, Washington wins a division at 7-9. That's mm-hmm. everything. Look how good everybody has gotten in a couple. Dallas drafted well. Philly picked up a lot of different personnel. New York got a coach that I have long said, you get the right coach with Daniel Jones, he'll be a better player. And he's showing that. So, obviously nobody's ever had 4 teams go to the playoffs because they haven't had that extra wild card. Able to do it. I don't think this is as good as the 80s when, the Giants were great, Washington was great, Dallas was really good. There was a really series of late 80s, early 90s. But in today's NFL, who else is in the NFC that's going to knock them off? Seattle? I don't see that. Tampa? Don't see that. Who else is out there?
Yeah, that's what I see is you look at it right now and I think it's really Giants, Commanders, Seahawks, 3 teams for 2 spots. And as we talked about at the beginning, I think the way that one of these 2 teams falls out of the picture is by losing both of these games coming up between New York and Washington.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody loses both, they're gone. Split, it probably goes near the end. Washington's schedule is not as tough as I think the Giants in those last 3 games, though they do play San Francisco, and that's probably the key game for them. But they play Dallas at the very end. Who knows what that's about? And they play Cleveland, which stinks. So, they could probably get there a little easier path than the Giants if they split. The Giants got a tough run down here. So these 2 games are important for both teams.
Yeah, Giants have, by strength of schedule, toughest schedule in the league. Commanders twice, Eagles twice, Vikings, who maybe aren't as good as their record indicates, but they're still winning games, and Indianapolis with high school coach Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, Indy, I knew they'd win their first game because you always win your first game for a midseason coaching change. And then you go back to who you are. But, you know, they're better than it could be. But that's another franchise. It's nuts. Ursay speaks out about getting Dan Snyder. And I thought, man, of all people, talk about Dan.
Ursay. Yeah.
Had his own demons.
Yeah, that is very, very true. So, hey, you know, the Giants are looking forward to getting or hopefully getting a lot of guys back this week. They've had right tackle Evan Neal miss the last few games, tight end Daniel Bellinger, Aziz Ojulari's been out most of the year. They've got a couple of other guys possibly coming back as well. The Commanders, though, could be getting Chase Young back. Is it definite at this point that Young is going to play? And what do you expect to see from him if he does play?
Well, it's been a big tease. I mean, the last couple of weeks they were thinking about playing him this past week, and he caught the flu. I mean, how random is that? So I think they're going to know Friday more. And they also want to see him more in all-out practices. And we've had a series of rain during midweek the last 2-3 weeks that's prevented that. And he's been in the bubble. But they may. But, they're going to play him part-time. You know, 16, 20 snaps for his first few games, which is now rapidly running out of the season. I don't think he changes a whole lot on that line because that line is playing very well. Now, you'd like to think Chase was a great player his first year, was awful his second year, and then missed half the year with being hurt. What's he going to be like now? No idea. That's why they really want to see him play some here. But I don't know that he could be an impact player. You're just hoping to see him run around there and do something. But this line, the interior of the line, best two tackle combination in the league. And you have Montez Sweat, who's a really good outside end. So I don't think Chase is like the victor coming in to save the day.
It's interesting because Giants fans were so bummed a couple of years ago when the Giants had the fourth pick and Washington had the second pick, and obviously that took the Giants out of the out of position to get Chase Young, and they wind up with Andrew Thomas, who, to my eyes, Andrew Thomas is playing like an all-pro left tackle. So maybe you would have gotten a great pass rusher in Chase Young if he is that, and like you said, he wasn't that last year, and we don't know what he is now. But the Giants certainly ended up with a top tier left tackle out of the deal.
Nothing wrong with that. It seems Washington and New York are often competing for the same players in the draft. It's kind of weird how that works, but Chase could maybe comes back and is great again. Maybe he's not. I mean, there's no way. The injury could be something. But his attitude his second year, his first offseason, he spent all his time doing commercials and not coming to camps and all this. And came back the second year and everybody was ready for him and he was awful. So what your attitude is now. I'm not sure what that is. And if it's another bad year, I don't know. Then you have to look at the pick and go, wow, it just didn't work.
Right. Yeah. So Washington comes into this game, I think 2 or 2.5 point favorites. I'm not sure where the line is right now. I think it might be at 2.5. How do you see this one unfolding? I mean, what I think and what I've written is, I'll just put it out there, I'm picking the Giants for the simple reason I understand how hot the Commanders are, how well they've been playing. But when I look at it, the two games in 3 weeks, back-to-back really for Washington, I think this is the desperation game for the Giants. I think this is the got-to-have-it, push all the chips to the center of the table, pull out all the stops to win this game. I think this is the one that they've absolutely got to have. And I think sometimes that desperation is the thing that sometimes puts a team over the top. So I'm just curious how you see this one unfolding.
I see a 45-0 Washington win.
Of course you do.
I think it's like a 2017 game. Good. That's what Washington does, mm-hmm. in a low-scoring game. So go with the under, whatever that is.
Yeah, I always say go with the under on the Giants games too. So we agree there.
Yeah, but it's going to be a close game. And if who doesn't blow it? Who doesn't throw a bad pick? who doesn't make mistakes, because Washington's won a few games where the other teams threw up on itself. And that happens all the time in the NFL. Washington's
Well, it's funny because we talk about the Giants and the Commanders chasing the same players in the draft. That's been the formula for the Giants all year. Control the pace of the game, keep the score, keep the score down. The Giants haven't scored 30 points in a game all year. I don't think they've scored 30 points in a game since 2020. And I think they've only allowed 30 points in one game. So it's control the pace of the game, keep the score down, and see what happens in the fourth quarter.
Now, I know everybody wants to see 42-35 games, but, you know, it's still decent old-school football of, you know, grind. It's old NFC East kind of games. And, you know, the weather won't be a factor now, but it used to always be that way. You had to grind, and come December, you had to be a good ground team. I think both these teams, they play a lot the same. So that's why I think it'll be a three-point game. Washington's field goal kicker got the NFC Player of the Month because he went 10 for 10. They didn't mention he missed an extra point and almost caught. I mean, that was a miracle, honestly, that they beat Atlanta. They got a tip pass at the goal line at the end, or else they were losing that game by a point because of a missed point. But Joey Sly's been decent for them. So I just think they're playing their best football. That's all you can ask. And, you know, if they can steal one up to New York, then they've got a real chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and like I said, I think if the Giants lose this one, then the pressure really ratchets up on them. But anyway, Rick, thank you very, very much for the time, and really appreciate it. And, maybe we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, if people can stand looking at us again. I'm not sure about that.
I put on a fresh shirt and everything for you, Ed.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, comb my hair. I mean, so, all right, maybe we'll try.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Giants fans, thank you, as always, for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.